The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app. Listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Real nice day. Some sun, some clouds, mild, eventually down to 50 tonight. Tomorrow, kind of cloudy, rain off and on, high 69. Phil was a 2-1 win in 10 innings last night. They'll try it again tonight. Keep things moving forward, playing Colorado at home at 6:40. Flyers across the street will be playing at 7, taking on Washington. The Sixers getting ready for their playoff game at home tomorrow, be taking on Miami. We're getting ready to take on a wonderful set of pastors with WFIL's Pastors Appreciation Breakfast this coming Thursday, the 18th. There are still some tickets left, but actually not that many. So if you've been waiting to get them and haven't had a chance, that's okay. That's all good. But don't wait too much longer. We're only going to have them available for about another day or so. So get yourself to either our site, WFIL.com. Pastors, you can get your tickets there, or you can call 610-729-1270. 610-729-1270 or at WFIL.com. We're going to have Alan Jackson from Alan Jackson Ministries as our keynote speaker. Really looking forward to that. He's got a great heart for the Lord and a very easy, natural way of communicating. And I think you're going to be blessed if you're a pastor or coming to that. You're going to have delicious food, fellowship, time of worship, and some gifts for our pastors. Everybody gets a resource bag. Plus, we have actual, you know, other prizes to give away. So that's all happening this Thursday, the 18th of April, WFIL's Pastor's Appreciation Breakfast, Pastor Alan Jackson, as part of that. We had him on the program, I guess, about a month or two ago, talking about being a pastor and continuing to learn, even though he's been doing it for several decades.
Yeah, it's very much a process, and I'm still learning. I'm over in the beginner box, but I'm determined to keep learning. And I think there's some things, I think because we don't really know, we're not comfortable with the idea or the person of the Holy Spirit, we take cheap substitutes. Like if it's impromptu, it's more godly. You know, our God is not without a plan. We have the prophets. I mean, we know hundreds of years in advance things that are going to happen in history. So spur of the moment is not more spiritual, which it took me a long time to learn that. If I will seek the Lord and listen to him, he'll help me know what I need to do before I even understand why it's what I need to do. And so, it's moving away from having a language around the Spirit and actually having a practice that reflects the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. If I follow Jesus through the Gospels, he's not frightened by adversaries that have more power than he does or storms that are intimidating. You know, there wasn't anything that caused him to panic, because he had such a calm assurance of the power of God at work on his behalf. And I want to learn to live that way more fully.
It's Alan Jackson from Alan Jackson Ministry. He is again our keynote speaker this Thursday at WFIL's Pastors Appreciation Breakfast. Details at WFIL.com. Tickets as well, or pastors, you can call 610-729-1270. You can take a break here. And looking forward to having in studio a special guest. His name is Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA. And we'll be chatting with him about the work they do and also an upcoming conference this Saturday called Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ. It's in conjunction with Bethel Deliverance International Church in Wincote. That's coming up next in just a moment. Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
It's the Tim DeMoss Show podcast, available at WFIL.com. Thanks for listening.
AM 560 WFIL, it's the Tim DeMoss Show, and I'm very glad to bring on board Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA. How you doing?
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming by today. Really appreciate you doing this. The work of Harvest USA we want to get into, and there's a conference this Saturday we'll talk about in conjunction with Bethel Deliverance as well. Before we get to that, share a bit about your testimony, if you would, about how the Lord got a hold of you in the first place.
Yeah. So by God's grace, I was born into a Christian family who loves Jesus and really emphasize church and family devotions, and so I really can't complain about my childhood. The Lord gave me every reason to trust Him, to believe Him, and grew up in a Christian school, Philmont Christian Academy.
Okay.
And I believe you actually did our senior prom. So
that's
right. Even have a connection there that goes way back.
That's right.
And I would say it was around middle school that the Lord really started grabbing my heart, and I started kind of making my faith my own. It wasn't just my family's faith. I just didn't go to church because I was dragged to. Okay. But I really started realizing, you know what? If God is real, then He is worthy of my life. He's worthy of my worship. And I started really wanting to talk to my friends that I went to Christian school with about, do you pray? Do you believe in God? Do you love Him? Do you want to worship Him? And I found a friend who did. And so he was really my first brother in the Lord. And we were reading Jerry Bridges' book, The Pursuit of Holiness, together, and just wanting to live out the faith that we've been raised in.
How old were you around that time?
This was in, around middle school.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very burned in my brain talking with him while our brothers were playing baseball. We were throwing a tennis ball on the brick wall of Philmont and started sharing and started talking about our love for Jesus. And it was around that time that it was, so puberty was starting to hit. And so it was around that same time that I started getting serious about my walk with the Lord that I also started struggling with things like masturbation and lust. And so I was feeling guilt and shame about that. So I actually shared that with my friend and I found out that he was also struggling with that. And so throughout my early Christian life, sexual struggles were something that I knew was an issue that the Lord wanted me to work on. But for a long time, it kind of felt like, well, I guess this is just the Christian life. It's kind of like I feel guilty about it. I don't want to do it. I do confess to friends about this, but it doesn't seem to be getting much better. And so I would say that was kind of my experience of the Christian life. I'm growing on certain levels. There are a lot of things that God's doing that I'm really grateful for, and yet this thing seems to just continue to cling so closely.
Yeah.
And I couldn't seem to throw it off. And there's a lot more I could go into with all that. Throughout college, I started wrestling with some faith issues and whether I really believed everything that the Bible was saying, whether I really wanted to believe it in terms of, was it good? Could I trust that God was good in His revealed will? And so there were some battles going on at those times.
Did you go to Christian school or college?
Yeah. Went to Geneva College out in Pittsburgh. I'm grateful I did because I was able to wrestle with that even with some of my professors and get some clarity around some of those issues, I would say, during that time. So really grateful for all of my education experience. And then I went and moved to South Korea for 5 years and was teaching English there. And that was where the Lord really started doing a lot of work in my life. And I would say just a few things. Number one, He was revealing that I had idols in my heart that were really at the core of a lot of my behavioral struggles was a worship issue. And so number one, I was worshiping the sense of value I could get, not from Christ and being His son, being made in God's image, but in some sort of career success. And I thought at first that was going to be through making films. I wanted to be a film major.
Oh, really?
And make movies. And wasn't that great at it. So there was some insecurity there. But realizing that I was just trying to find my value, I was trying to basically save myself on some level. And and part of that was also wanting to date, wanting to have a girlfriend, wanting to get married, and it never working out. Not just working out in terms of girlfriends, breakups, but not even being able to date anyone. And so there was a lot of idolatry there of just, Lord, You've given me all these good things, but You're not providing this person, and I'm not sure You're enough for me. And I started realizing how much a lot of, especially that idea of sense of rejection, failure, really went hand in hand with sexual sin and fantasy. And okay, I'm rejected in real life. Well, in my fantasy world, I'm accepted. I'm even worshipped. And so I'd rather live in that place. And it was really my third year in South Korea where the Lord started doing this work of, the best thing I can say is there's a famous sermon by a Puritan, Thomas Chalmers, and the title of the sermon is The Expulsive Power of a New Affection.
Yes.
And so this idea of God was just, he was doing so many things to just show me how good he is in all of his ways. And I was just finding greater and greater satisfaction in him, in worshiping him, in serving him. I started serving in a campus evangelistic outreach in Korea. And more and more, the pleasures of sin, the lure of that started to fade away. And I started to realize how empty those things were. And I also realized I couldn't have both. The dissonance between all the things I was enjoying in Christ and what I thought was life in sin, I just realized one of these has to go. They can't both remain.
Wow.
And so yeah, I would say the Lord was wooing me back to himself in a deeper way. And it really was the joy of the Lord that became my strength more and more. And so yeah.
How old about that time?
So this was in my early 20s at that time. And just those sins of sexual sin started to more and more, I was finding greater strength to say no to them and cast those off. And it was at that time, around that time, that the Lord provided my wife into my life, and we started dating. And that was definitely a big, I would say, motivator at the time, because I'd seen friends who were married at that point, and sexual sin was really destroying their marriages in certain ways. And yeah. So there was a sense of sober-mindedness about that. And the Lord was doing just so much work in my life, revealing just the deeper heart issues at work that were fueling that sin, not just the behavior itself, but the heart.
Yes.
And so I started realizing that I had a heart for ministry. I wanted to serve the Lord in a more formal way. So we moved back to the States, and I went to Westminster Seminary, and I got my counseling degree there. And I thought, you know, the Lord's done this work in my own life. Maybe he's going to use this in some way to minister to others. And so I was already aware of Harvest USA. They came and did a chapel message. I got involved. I started volunteering in 2013,
okay.
Did an internship with them in 2014, and then joined the staff in 2015.
Wow. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Mark Sanders. He's president of Harvest USA. You can find out about their work at harvestusa.org. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk a bit more about the work itself that you're doing now. With that as a backdrop, you're just sharing your testimony a bit there. And also this upcoming conference this Saturday, going on the 20th of April, Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ. It's happening at Bethel Deliverance International Church, 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote. You're listening to The Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on The Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email timmyd@wfil.com.
AM 560 WFIL, it's The Tim DeMoss Show. Thanks for tuning in. We have Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA, in studio with us. This coming Saturday, the 20th, Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ. It's a conference happening. It is going on at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote. You can find out more at betheldeliverance.org, or also, would it be on the Harvest site too? Harvestusa.org, you know, if you have it there or not. I'm not sure. Bethel Deliverance, I know, has it there. So let's just
point people. Yeah, it might be there. It might be a little hard to find, but it's definitely on Bethel Deliverance.
Okay,
yeah.
I checked the Bethel site, and I went to the events page. So that's where I found it. So betheldeliverance.org, the events page. Before we talk about that conference this Saturday, share a bit about the work of Harvest USA. It's been around for close to 50 years, right? 40 years.
40 years, 40 yeah. Years. We celebrated 40 years in 2023. So we started in 1983 out of 10th Presbyterian Church down in Center City, Philadelphia. It was started really as an outreach to the gay and lesbian community down there. You know, what was happening is that block where 10th is situated was a place where male prostitutes would solicit there, even on the doorsteps of the church.
Wow.
And so it was clear to James Montgomery Boyce and others at the time that there's an unreached people group right here that we can minister to. God has brought them to us.
Right.
And so that's how it started, as an outreach. And we saw many people turn from sin, come to Christ, get saved. It was also at that time that an AIDS ministry really birthed out of Harvest called Hope. And because that was when the AIDS crisis was really at its peak.
Yes.
And people were ministering to people in their deathbeds because often their families and everyone else had abandoned them. And so it was Hope that was really being there for them.
Wow.
For
Wow.
Till the end.
Wow.
And it was, and so as Harvest got into the 90s, late 90s, and the rise of the internet, it became obvious that it wasn't just same-sex attraction that people were coming to Harvest for, but they were also coming with pornography struggles. They were coming with all types of hosts of sexual brokenness going on. And it was also Christians, people who weren't just in the world, but people in the church were struggling with these things. And so it became much more of a discipleship ministry and a ministry where we are committed to not just having people ministered to in our offices, but also equipping the church. We really see as a parachurch ministry, our heart is that the church is able to minister to their people in these areas. And so we have a twofold mission.
Okay.
One is to bring the hope and mercy and truth of Jesus Christ to those who are affected by sexual sin. So we have ministries for men who are struggling, for women who struggle. You know, often we think about sexual sin as being a man's issue, but there are many women who struggle as well. And often, if they struggle, there's an added shame because they assume, I must be kind of weird because I thought this only men struggle this way. Why am I struggling with pornography or other things as well? And so we minister to women. We minister to the wives, especially of husbands who are unfaithful, who are struggling. And that's another thing that the church sometimes doesn't do. That if the church will minister, they'll often minister to the person struggling, but they don't realize there's collateral damage going around that person and caring for their family, caring for their spouse in particular.
Okay.
And then we also have a ministry for families and parents in particular whose children identify as LGBTQ+. And so that's actually one of our most growing ministries right now in terms of the number of children whose son or daughter identifies as gay, or particular right now, children who are identifying as transgender.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our ministry that we do in our offices, and that's mainly done through biblical support groups. But we also have a ministry of education, and so we really want to equip the church to serve their people directly. And so we do that through books. We have a website, harvestusa.org, with a lot of free material, articles. We just launched a brand new online course platform.
Okay.
And so we have two courses that are absolutely free for anyone to register, and they're directed at parents who want to raise their children in this current environment.
Yeah.
And so the first one's called Raising Sexually Faithful Kids.
Okay.
And the other one is called Parenting Boys and Girls in a Gender-Confused World. And so people can check that out at harvestusa.org.
Okay.
Free courses there.
Yeah, as you're talking, there's so much I'm thinking about. One is the idea of, I don't call it preventative, but just before things have gone a certain direction.
That's right.
Versus things are happening or they're
reactive.
I mean, and both are going to happen, right? So it sounds like Harvest USA is going to go whatever direction is needed.
That's right. That's right.
Got to kind of be ready for all of it.
Yeah. There's definitely elements of our teaching that incorporate both. You know, one of the, you know, you probably know the phrase, how do you spot a counterfeit? Well, you study the real thing.
Yeah.
And so especially just our teaching, we have a book called God, You, and Sex, and it's all a positive theology of God's design for sex. And if the church has a better grasp of that and not just, well, God said, don't do this, so don't do it, but why? His commands are not burdensome. They're always for our flourishing. They're always for our good.
Yes.
And when we understand the purpose behind sex, the purpose behind our gender, we start to see more and more why the prohibitions make sense. And so I think every parent needs to be equipped to really, and church as well, needs to be equipped to give children and everyone a positive understanding of this is why these boundary lines exist. That when you stay within the boundary lines of God's design, it's actually for our flourishing. It's for our good.
Yeah, for sure. Mark Sanders is our guest today on the Tim DeMoss Show. He's president of Harvest USA. HarvestUSA.org is where you can get more information. And among other things, this coming Saturday, the 20th, they're going to be working in conjunction with Bethel Deliverance International Church in Wincote, betheldeliverance.org for more info. And in a minute or two, I'd love to get into kind of what this Saturday is going to be about. But just backing up for a second, some of the work that Harvest does then is on site in the office, but then, and some of it's just resources people can go online and read through or do a course or something. But also, does Harvest go into, say, if a local church wants to bring in and do a one, I guess I'm answering my own question, you know, one day seminar?
That's
like
right.
Saturday.
That's right. Yeah, I just got back from Alabama over the weekend doing a conference at a church there. So yeah, we definitely go out and we minister all over the nation. Obviously, we're a smaller staff, so we're often focused on more local churches in our area, but we definitely will go to a lot of different places to do a host of different seminars and teachings on those things. And we also, a lot of our ministry now is done online as well. So we're ministering to people people on various time zones, even in different continents at this point, in terms of the group work that we do.
Okay. So I'm sure I'll cycle back to some of the things that Harvest is about, even just with the questions about this coming Saturday. This Saturday, the 20th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote. It's Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ, a one-day conference. It's at $10. I believe it's free for youth ages 12 to 22 is on the site, which is nice. But even $10, just put something in. You need to, I think it's helpful to do that. You have a little skin in the game, as they say. But tell us what you know about this Saturday. I know you're one of the presenters or part of what's going on there.
That's correct. Yeah, we're really excited for this, excited for our partnership with Bethel. We're going to be doing five different talks, and it's really a pretty comprehensive day, I would say. And actually, the first talk is exactly what we were talking about. We're going to talk about God's design for sex and whether his design still makes sense in our current cultural landscape, and really give that, set the stage for here's how God's design was originally created. And then we can talk about the fall and redemption and how those things are working out. But let's start with the blueprints. So that's the first talk. Then the second talk, anyone who's familiar with Harvest USA, we have something called the tree model that we use that really helps to understand. It's kind of like a biblical anthropology of understanding who we are as image bearers, why we struggle the ways we do, and how the gospel meets us in our struggles. And so, so the second talk is basically understanding why sexual struggles happen and what do we do about that. Then the third talk is called Can You Change If You're Gay? And that's obviously a very contentious topic, even within the church. And there's a lot of questions about, well, what do you mean by change? And what do you mean by gay? And there's all these different things that can come up with that kind of question. So we'll get into that and the biblical hope that the gospel offers for any type of sin struggle. And that's really what we want to give a biblical theology of sanctification is that third talk. And then the fourth talk is how the Bible understands gender. And so we want to basically, again, give a primer for the gender conversation and how God has created us as male and female and why that's good for society and good for the individual. And then the last one is talking about how to talk about the hope of Christ in a world that is affirming of LGBTQ+. Everything LGBTQ+. And so what does it mean to be salt and light in our current day and age? And so thinking a lot about the posture we have towards our neighbors, the things we can expect when it comes to opposition to the gospel, but also how to engage in such a way where you are building a sense of trust with people so that when the time comes that you can have those harder conversations, people know that this person cares about me. This person has shown me that they are not just talking about issues, but they care about me as a human being.
Yes.
And so that's what the conference is going to be about. We're really excited about it.
That's great. And that's just, again, this coming Saturday, the 20th of April. You can grab details, betheldeliverance.org. Click the events page and you can find out more info. Quick break. We'll come back with more with Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA, on the Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Live and local. It's the Tim DeMoss Show, weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com. Our podcast continues.
AM 560 WFIL, it's the Tim DeMoss Show. Very glad to have Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA, in studio with us, harvestusa.org, for more info on the work that they do. And again, this coming Saturday, the Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ conference going on at Bethel Deliverance International Church, 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote. Grab details at betheldeliverance.org. That's betheldeliverance.org. Or you can call 215-885-2585, 215-885-2585. And just before the break there, Mark was sharing about some of the topics for this coming Saturday. I want to also reference Bishop Eric Lambert, who was on the program Climbing Higher, which is on right before this one every day. You were on a program that he does called The Christian in the Culture.
That's right.
And folks can get some more insight into some of these things. It's on YouTube. They can just look up The Christian in the Culture and find out you were on not too long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We recorded a couple weeks ago, and I think it just launched this week in terms of being broadcast on YouTube and on some certain television stations in the area.
Yeah. It's very helpful. It's very helpful. And you had a lot of good things to share on there. I know one of the things that was shared during that time, one of the pastors on the panel, Brian Weatherspoon from Tabernacle Harvest Church, he said, Do you find, and this is just a section while we're together here, I just had some thoughts I jotted down. So one of the things he asked you, so this won't be a surprise, he says, do you find that the gender issues and other matters that come up, not just homosexuality or lesbian or pornography, but the gender type stuff, I think, is where he's, is it a cultural phenomenon? Like, it's just become popular, we're seeing it everywhere, so now people are like, I'll try one of those, versus is there something actually spiritually going on underneath? And I don't know if you wanted to share a bit about your thoughts on that. And I think gender dysphoria was something you said back in the day versus now. And
Yeah. So, I mean, as a background, I do think what's been happening the past 5-10 years is new in terms of the rate and number of children, especially, who are identifying as LGBTQ+. So basically, the online course, Parenting Boys and Girls in a Gender Confused World, we really give our explanation of how do we get here today? What's going on? And so we go into a deep dive of that. This is just a really quick flyover. But what we're seeing is that historically, if somebody really had a deep distress of being in the wrong body, feeling that way, that was relegated typically to young boys would start to express that as early as 2 to 4 years old. And it was only about 1 in 10,000 people in the general population.
How long ago would that have been?
Up until the last couple decades.
Okay.
And then that's what all the studies show.
So it was a thing, gender dysphoria, but it was rare.
Yeah, and so rare in particular amongst girls that there were zero studies of this done for girls until 2007. And so, and now girls are the most likely to present as being gender dysphoric, and so or wanting to identify as trans or non-binary. And so clearly there's been a shift. Something has happened. And again, we go into a lot of the factors culturally and in our environment that would start to explain, okay, I can see how kids today, if you grew up in this type of environment, would be more prone to give ear and attention to these ideas.
Yeah.
And especially when you're growing, and what's very interesting as well is that this is coinciding with astronomical rates of anxiety, depression, suicidality, anorexia, and many other mental health crises that are going on with the same population of youth.
Yeah.
And so there's a coinciding of these things going on. And in a lot of ways for many, there's a sense in which a transgender identity can be for some seen as my way out. And so there's a very famous detransitioner named Helena Kirshner. And she's been interviewed by Tucker Carlson and many others like that. And she tells her story of being she loses her primary caregiver at age 13. She spirals into self-harm and all these types of things. And she finds herself on a social media site called Tumblr. And it's on that site that all the people there convince her, you know what your problem is? You're trans. And you need to detransition, or you need to transition, and that's going to solve your problems. And she just bought that in. She just soaked that up. And eventually she realized, actually, that was a lie. That's not what my problem was, and this wasn't helping me at all. And so all that to say, there are a lot of factors going on right now that I think help explain why we're seeing these like 4,000% spikes of kids identifying in the UK or in parts of there's one study done in a county, a school district in Delaware, Maryland, a similar 4,000% spike of kids identifying as LGBTQ+. And so I think we can explain that. But what's underneath all of that? What's underneath this culture? And that's where I think we can look to the Bible and see that there is a prince of the power of the air going on, that the world is still deceived by Satan himself. And so what sets itself up against the knowledge of God? Well, I think every lofty idea has an origin there that ultimately finds its place with the principalities and rulers, which are the ultimate enemies. And we even see that all the way back in the Old Testament. Like the New Testament kind of pulls back the curtain and shows all these enemies of Israel and all these things.
Sure.
There was really a deeper enemy behind all of them. And so that's my explanation for how I understand this. You know, at times, are there specific types of personal demonic oppression going on? Well, of course, we know that still happens today.
Yeah, sure.
And we know that can happen in specific individuals' experiences. But by and large, societally, I would say the ideologies that are capturing our society are from the pit of hell. And these come from Satan himself.
Mark Sanders, our guest today on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL. He is president of Harvest USA. You can find out more about the work they do at harvestusa.org. One of the I did a bit of a brain dump. And thinking, one of the things you know, that Harvest does. You talk about whether it was born out of ministering to those battling with homosexuality, lesbian, but expanded pornography and adultery and all kinds of other sexually related issues. Do you find that the top, the, I think what comes up sometimes is someone might say, is one type of sin worse, kind of call it worse than another, more severe in God's eyes? I think of those in gradations like, well, there's some sins that are going to have more consequences just even now on earth. Versus, but even like say, well, you're a glutton, or you have issues with rage, or who, like, why are you singling me out? Just that whole, you can, maybe you could speak to, because you speak with all kinds of folks who come to Harvest, the notion of, in your view, if one sins worse than another, if you want to call it that, or in God's eyes, more severe than another, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we have
to always... homosexuality versus adultery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For
yeah.
example, they're both very, can be very,
yeah.
but some people might
yeah.
just be like, leave me alone. Like, why, who are you to tell me?
Right.
anything?
Right.
Or who are you to say anything?
Yeah. 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 And there's, if we're going to ask the question of who are we to say, well, we have to say, where does our authority stem from?
Yes.
You might say your authority stems from your experience or your own rational capabilities, but we take our authority from God's word. And so, I think when it comes to these are difficult questions.
Yes.
And I think we have to remember that when people ask these questions, there's usually a story behind that. There's a person who's wrestling, and there could be a lot of different scenarios that someone might ask that question. And so I think we have to, when you're talking with an individual, you really want to know where they're coming from and why they're asking that question. So I might be personally slow to just jump into given the theoretical answer and really, well, why are you asking that question? Why are you asking whether this particular sin is worse than the other?
Yeah.
Maybe they feel a lot of shame and they don't know whether they can talk to you about this. And so they're kind of gauging
How will you react?
Yeah, how will you react to this question?
If I tell you.
Yeah, and I'm going to, depending on what you say, I may or may not tell you. And so I think that's helpful to know when people ask about a certain topic. It's helpful to think maybe that topic is personal to them, and maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
And so I think, and like you said, yeah, consequences for sins are different. We also know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that even if we sin in one way, we're guilty of breaking the entire law. And so there's a clear, yeah. everyone is desperate and without hope in the world apart from Christ. And
yeah.
we all need his perfect record of righteousness to be acceptable before God. And it's through his blood and his cleansing that we can come boldly into his throne room and seek help. But I think it's helpful. So it's helpful on the one hand to remember that we are all in equal need of a Savior.
For sure.
It's also Absolutely. Helpful to remember that that there's a sense in which I love 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there's no temptation that's overtaking you that is not common to man. And one of the things we talk about at Harvest USA is that we're all much more alike than we are different. And what we mean by that is not that we all struggle with the same exact temptations towards certain behaviors,
yeah.
but that the issues underneath those things are common to man. And so you could list 10 different behaviors, and you could say that each one of them has an issue of desiring acceptance underneath of it, or a desire for comfort or escape from suffering,
yeah.
or all of these deeper human issues that are undergirding them. And so I think that's helpful to kind of start to say, you know what, the 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. And I think sometimes when people struggle with a very particular sin that they don't see anyone else seeming to talk about, they feel uniquely without hope, that, oh, well, they struggle with the common things, but I struggle with this really uncommon thing. And how do I talk to anybody about this? And so I think that's another factor. But then when we think, if we want to give kind of the answer of how God views sin, we can hold both of these things as both being true, that all sin is equally worthy of condemnation
yeah.
and judgment. And yet, the Bible does talk about ways in which we can please God or displease God. And there's a sense in which God cares about the details.
Yeah,
and so,
right.
And so the person who, for example, is just blatantly giving over to pornography with zero fight. They're just like, I'm living in this. That's displeasing to God in a way that's different than the person who is fighting their sin, who is turning away from it, who is seeking out accountability and confessing and wanting to walk in holiness, but still struggles with it and might still give into it at times.
Yeah.
In a sense, they're leading a more pleasing life to God than the person who isn't fighting against it at all. So that's one way to think about it. Another way is when you think about the very particular type of sin. I wish I had the Westminster Confession in front of me right now because it actually lists. So maybe some of your audience can go find it. But they actually list different factors that make sin more perhaps heinous than others. One of them could be going against the natural created order. That's one facet that is displeasing to God. But it's not the only facet. It's not the only thing.
Right.
There are other things going on as well. So again, I would say the person who wrestles with same-sex attraction but is seeking to follow Christ, wants to love him, wants to honor them, wants to be more and more sanctified in their desires, but this is still a wrestling.
Yes.
God is pleased with your pursuit of holiness, and that in a way, he's more pleased with you than he is the person who struggles with heterosexual lust and is not fighting it and is giving over to it. And so I think it's helpful to think about the various things that are displeasing to God. The last thing I would say is God's I can't remember the chapter and verse, but you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.
Hmm.
And there's a way in which there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about, and we talked about this earlier, like haughty eyes and even gluttony. And there's these things that often we as the Western church, we're just like, oh, that's fine, no big deal. Those are respectable sins. And yet God's saying these are really big deals. And so we have to ask, is our certain repulsion against certain sins truly biblical, or is it more cultural? And is our acceptance of certain sins, what does that say about how truly we are following Scripture?
Well, even us, because when's the last time maybe you heard a sermon from the pulpit about gluttony?
That's right.
Because everybody eats, so sometimes there's a big church lunch afterward, and who's to say that you ate too many mashed potatoes there? But it's very real.
It's a very public sin, potentially.
It is. Or getting angry, rage, road rage, or other ways that. But because I guess in a way they're viewed as more common, or we all struggle with that, I can tell you personally, I also was like, let's not talk about that so much. Let's all give each other some space because we all know what it's like to be really hungry and eat too much, or you're sad and you have a half a pint of ice cream or a gallon of ice cream, whatever it is, or some other thing that is actually like, well, to your point earlier when you were sharing your testimony, where are you really looking for your joy from, your satisfaction from, your identity from,
your comfort
from, whatever it is, all the things that the Lord is supposed to be, you're looking for something else.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, but if you don't struggle with a particular sin, it's funny. I played softball with a guy one time who used to travel a lot for work. And he said, Tim, he says, I actually really don't have trouble like maybe commit adultery or pornography. I'm like, you're like one of the few people I know that if I traveled for work, I wouldn't be struggling in a hotel room or whatever that temptation might play out as. So, but I thought, you know, it's easy for a person to feel stronger about something that doesn't touch them.
Yeah,
because it's just not a thing for them. Yeah. I'm just bringing that up because it's kind of a rare thing. That's why I think people want latitude on. I know what it's like to struggle with pornography or lust. I know what it's like to struggle with another woman liking me or me liking that woman or someone like just who, for whatever reason, may not turn into anything, but just the temptation. And we all kind of understand that. But I've never personally struggled with homosexual thoughts or anything. So it might be easier for me or another person to be like, that's different. That's weird. I mean, it comes up in Scripture as in Romans 1 especially, but I think there are other things that might just, if it's not part of what you struggle with.
That's right.
In general, you might be quicker to be
Vigilant
against it or something.
Yeah, we judge others based on our strengths, not our weaknesses. And so we tend to say, well, I don't struggle with this, so why are you? You know, just do better. And yet the things that we find just do better doesn't tend to be helpful. We can be very gracious with those things.
Right.
For sure.
If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Mark Sanders. He is president of Harvest USA, harvestusa.org for details on the work that they do. This coming Saturday, going to be at the Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ Conference. It's taking place in Wincote at Bethel Deliverance International Church. And you can find out more about that at BethelDeliverance.org. It's an 8:30 a.m. start, runs till 4 p.m. And we'll have this in the podcast, so you can scroll through that as well for more info on that. I'd love to have you back because there's so much more we could talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
But one last question for you. Just the work that you do, how is it for you personally with regard to the nature of it? I mean, Scripture does talk about, when we talk about not what's worse or whatever, but how sexual sin is against your own body, right? Whatever type of sexual sin we're talking about. And that's a little different than all other sins are outside a man's body, it talks about. But it's another level of intensity, or I would call it spiritual warfare, a battle or struggle for you to keep up on what's going on. How do you say? What do you say? What do you keep quiet for a while and then say it later? What's it like for you and the work you do?
It's challenging. I think you summed up a lot of it well in terms of the number one, it's a huge topic that people are talking about more than ever before. And so we want to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. We want to be careful to remain biblical. One of the things we've always wanted to achieve and strive after is a robust commitment to the truth, while also a gracious, compassionate way of speaking that truth, that really anyone who's – we always want to speak in such a way where we assume there could be someone struggling with this and they're listening right now and they're reading this article right now. And we want them to see Jesus offers me hope in this moment and doesn't just turn me away and leave me to my own devices. So it's working at Harvest is both a unique pleasure or privilege. And I say that every single day. I say, this is a privilege to work here. And it's a uniquely privileged work culture that I'm a part of. My staff and we laugh a lot. We have fun together. We have deep relationships. And so definitely work culture makes a huge difference. If our culture wasn't that way, I don't think any of us would survive. But so there's a great privilege being there. There's also a great privilege in being welcomed into the deeper things of people's lives and having them share those things, knowing that they're trusting you with those things. And then over the course of sometimes a few months or even a few years, seeing the transformation God brings into their story and hearing the testimony when they first came to the testimony when they're done, it's just miles apart. And then meeting up with them. I was actually just meeting with somebody for lunch today that I ministered to, and seeing where God had brought them was incredible.
Well, that reminds me, I wanted to definitely ask you, because a lot of the work we've talked about, what the conference coming up is about, focuses on the struggle, the challenges, that different temptations, sexual struggles and all that. But there's so much more to it, because that's not the end game. That's not even supposed to, in a real, very real way, be what 80 or 90% of your brain's on. It's turn your eyes to the Lord and see what you're what you're missing, but see the really where we're supposed to be looking. Yeah. That's the end game.
That's right.
And not just like the last chapter of the story. It's like, no, Lord willing, that'll become your chapter right now and moving forward. And the other stuff you're battling can grow dimmer and dimmer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And Jesus is the means and the goal. And so as soon as we come in, people are usually very focused on themselves. And when people come in, they're just talking all about their sin, their mess, their consequences. And immediately we want to point them to Christ. And today you can take the focus and put your gaze upon him. And then, as you go out, and sexual sin is so inward focused. It's all about me on so many levels. The consequences about me, the pleasure of sin is about me. It's all self-focused. And so, as people go out from Harvest, as they see redemption, there's an outward focus that we're wanting to see more and more happen. And it's about this bigger scope. You know, one of the things I love thinking about is the idea that what you worship, the scope of what you worship is the scope of your life. So if you're worshiping the creation, then you're limited to this finite thing. Your world is small. But if you worship the Creator, your scope is infinite, and you see the bigger things that he's doing, and what people thought was just the story of despair and consequences and shame and regret turns into the story where now I have a way forward. Maybe God's going to use my story to help others as he did for me, but just this bigger picture, and that only comes when you're worshiping our triune God.
Amen. That's a great word. I love that. And we definitely need to have you back because there's like half my stuff I wrote down I didn't even talk about yet. And I'm sure there's much more. That's great. Mark, thank you for coming in. Really appreciate it.
It's been a privilege. Thank you for having me.
All right. Mark Sanders, president of Harvest USA, equipping the church, pastors, and parents to bring the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform the lives of those affected by sexual sin. If you hit their site, harvestusa.org, you'll see a number of tabs: pornography, transgenderism, spousal unfaithfulness, a struggling child, same-sex attraction, singleness and dating, relationship struggles, biblical sexuality, sexual addiction, marriage, discipleship, helping others. Resources are available there. Articles to harvestusa.org for info on the upcoming Created by God, Redeemed Through Christ conference. That's this Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. BethelDeliverance.org. Topics discussed this Saturday: does God's design for sex still make sense? Why do we struggle with sexual sin? Can you change if you're gay? A biblical view of gender and transgender, and explain the hope of Christ in an LGBTQ plus affirming world. Again, details on the conference this Saturday, BethelDeliverance.org. One of the things I would say that we were touching on there at the end of our conversation has to do with whatever struggles you have, sexual sin or otherwise, other sin, is to remember where we're headed with these things. We want to believe and worship and take our comfort and our everything in the Lord, because it not just because it's something to do, but because it's real. As Scripture says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. And as we line ourselves up with his word, then things make sense. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart because your desires are lining up with him. And there's many other scriptures. I know one of my favorites comes from Psalm 84. That's the passage it talks about. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I love sharing that because it goes on from there. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Psalm 84, 10 through 12. Just want to encourage you, and there's much more we can talk about this in days to come, just about the goodness of God and trusting that he is good. He is for us. Everything he has for us, including boundaries, are for our good. He is not holding back anything from any of us because he wants to be, you know, prove who's boss or something. Or he missed a few things here or there. He's the best at absolutely everything, including sexuality, including his design for everything. And the more I have found that I love this verse, these verses, because it reminds me he's good. At no point in my life is he holding back anything from me. It's such an important thing to remember, because if you really understand that and believe that, the more I think about that, it really shapes the decisions that I make. Instead of thinking I can do better than God, I can find other ways around. Well, I don't like that part of his word. I'll figure out my own. This part I can get along with. That part I'll figure out. Or it doesn't really mean that. I'll do this way. You know, so Psalm 84, 10 through 12. Key verses I would encourage you to check out if you have not. Just wrapping up the show, a little public service announcement. You know, if you're going to be downtown, a couple of games going on. The Phillies and Flyers playing. Phillies taking on Colorado at 6:40. They won last night in 10 innings. And the Flyers across the street at 7 taking on Washington. A big game. It's the last game of the Flyers season with playoff implications, although head coach John Tortorella talking about it's not a playoff game.
It's high stakes here, absolutely. But don't call it a playoff game because it's not a playoff game. We use that word a little. You earn your way into playoffs. When you call yourself a playoff team or you're playing a playoff game, it better be a playoff game. I don't agree with this is playoff type game because we're not in the playoffs. I love that we're playing a high stakes game here, a very important game, and it's the last one of the year. That's really important, but we're not in the playoffs. I just don't like using the word it's playoffs because we're not in the playoffs. That's where we want to get to.
It's almost like the Jim Mora from the Saints. Playoffs, it's the opposite. It's not playoffs. So that's tonight. It's complicated. Washington has 89 points. Detroit has 89. Pittsburgh Penguins have 88, and the Flyers have 87. So for the Flyers to make the playoffs, they have to win tonight in regulation, which would prevent Washington from getting any overtime points. And Detroit and Pittsburgh both have to lose in regulation. And Detroit plays tonight at the same time the Flyers do, but Pittsburgh doesn't play till tomorrow night at 7. So even if the Flyers win tonight, Detroit loses, you still have to wait for tomorrow night to see if the Penguins lose. But it's still possible for all that to happen. All right, so that's that. Coming down the home stretch of the show, before we pass things over to Alistair Begg and Truth for Life, don't forget, We have our Pastor's Appreciation Breakfast. Really looking forward to that this Thursday at Radnor Valley Country Club. Pastors, you can still get tickets, but not for much longer. I think that wraps up tomorrow at some point during the day. So either go to our site, WFIL.com, click the Pastor's Appreciation Breakfast banner, and you can get your tickets there, or you can call 610-729-1270 if you need some help. The quickest way is going online, but if you need some assistance, give us a call, 610-729-1270. Again, 610-729-1270. Alan Jackson from Alan Jackson Ministries, our keynote speaker. Delicious food, fellowship, a time of worship. Every pastor in attendance getting a resource bag. We're going to have prizes to give away. So if your pastor, you maybe just nudge your pastor in the rib and say, hey, why don't you go to this thing? Or cover the cost of you. It's $15. It's not that expensive, but maybe you could bless your pastor that way. All right. So there you go. WFIL.com for more info on that. That'll do it for today. Alistair Begg, Truth for Life, coming up next. Tim DeMoss Show, WFIL, done for now. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.